Mark chapter 12, and you don't need to turn to it, contains a beautiful story about a woman. We sort of naturally assume that she was older because the Bible says that she was a widow. But I've met some young ones of them too, and I don't know how old she was. Someday we will. We'll find out if it's at all important then. She's one of the people that, to be honest, I cannot wait to meet when I get to heaven. One of the things that God has asked us to do is to share of our time, of our talents, of our spiritual gift, and in this context, of our finances. And she did. She didn't just share, she bankrupted herself. At present, California, Oakland to be exact, about 18 years ago. Because this was something that had been published just briefly before in 1980. A mathematician with a lot of time on his hands, maybe too much, had worked out on a computer what the widow's two mites, smallest of the denominations of brass currency in the Roman Empire, he worked out what it would have been approximately worth in U.S. dollars in A.D. 30. And he figured, by default, 10% simple interest compounded once a year, annually, from A.D. 30 to 1980. That's a lousy way to invest, as many of you know. So he figured it out. He factored everything together and he put it into his computer and it spit out the answer. I don't know how he arrived at it, but he did anyway, and here's what it was worth. Ready? Put 17 and then a comma and then 24 zeros in U.S. dollars. That's what it was worth in 1980. In his computer model, he came up with the idea that by the year 2000, and we're just about there, that would have doubled from the 17 with 24 zeros to 34. Now, that's a staggering sum. He told us what it was. I've long forgotten. But that's really not the important thing. The important thing is that that's now not earning earthly interest, 10% compounded annually. It's earning heaven's interest in a place where moth and rust don't corrupt and savings and loans don't fail and stock markets will never crash. And it bears the fragrance of the Lord Jesus. She's an example, and I think she will be forever in heaven. She gave everything she had. There's a young man who grew up in New York, just outside of Buffalo. He had a burning passion to serve the Lord on the mission field, and as time went on, his heart really centered on a country of Africa that he had never been to before. And he went and he got everything that he could find about that country, and he read it all up, and the burden grew for this country in Africa. He went to a mission board, and he said, I would like to be ordained or commended, whatever word they happen to use, to serve the Lord. And he named the country, forgive me, I forget exactly which one it is. But it's a... And they said, well, sir, tell us your testimony. And he did. And I said, very good. They said, how long have you been married? He said, well, at present, actually, I'm not married. And they said, well, it's not our practice to send missionaries to the field that are single, either male or female. So next, pray about a wife that has the same passion. And if God brings you one, come back and we'll talk. So he did. Never lost his burden for the mission field in that one country. But miraculously, God brought into his life a girl that he fell in love with who actually had come to the same conclusion with her life in the same country in Africa about 2 years before he had. And so they shared the similar desire to serve the Lord in Africa. He went back to the mission board after they were married and were heartily commended to the Lord's work in Africa. And 3.5 weeks after they landed, his wife contracted a very peculiar illness that caused them to come back to the States. They barely made it, she did, to New York, and they institutionalized her for months. And he couldn't wait until the day came when they could go back and really be missionaries. The doctors, and they said, we need to talk to both of you. Your wife almost died. And they said, sir, we need to tell you, if she ever contracts this disease again or one like it, it will certainly be fatal. And we have recommended to your missionary stay home. The missionary board revoked their commendation. It was with a broken heart he went back to the little town outside of Buffalo where he lived and didn't know what to do. This is all he had cared for in life. But his mom made grape juice and grape jelly, and he always liked it. And so he teamed up with his mom. And she made it, and he sold it on street corners and going door to door and eked out a little living. And when he finally died at an old man, as an old man, a very old age, Joseph Welch had contributed over $80 million of his own money from Welch's grape juice and jellies to missionaries all over the world. Is he going to get a reward for making grape juice? Yeah, we have a big God. See, God tested him. And he knew what his heart was. But God had a different work for him, commissioned him into a different service in his army. Interesting. There's a little girl named Hattie Wyatt, not far south of here in Philadelphia, and she was an orphan. Little street girl. But she loved the Lord Jesus. One of the foster homes that she had stayed in, they were Christian people. She wasn't there very long, just long enough to hear the gospel, and she was saved as a little girl of 10. She came down with a horrible case of tuberculosis, and in the 1840s, 1850s era, that was the kiss of death. And if you didn't have the money to be institutionalized, no one else would take you in. She lived on the streets. And Philadelphia can be kind of cold, as you know, in the winter times. One Sunday, she thought she was feeling a little better from the tuberculosis, and she went to a church. She wanted to go in for Sunday school. And unfortunately, as soon as she came in from the cold into the heat, the shock to her lungs sent her into a coughing attack. And if you ever heard a person with TB cough, you sort of know. You know what they have. They sent her right out. And she went back to the little room that wasn't heated where she lived. She was now 12. When they found her body about 3 weeks later, she had frozen to death in her room in Philadelphia. And the coroner came and picked up her body, and they were wheeling it away in a horse-drawn little buggy thing. And she's so stiff and frozen. And they took her into the morgue and literally let her body thaw out. And he pried open her fingers, and inside the 12-year-old hands were 13 cents. And a scrap of paper. And she said, would you please give this to some church so that they could build a Sunday school that will never turn away little kids? Well, the press loves a story like that. And they picked it up. And it went throughout Philadelphia in the Inquirer. And it made its way into Pittsburgh and up to New York. It's made its way down to Washington and finally coast to coast. And a lot of people took up the cause of Hattie Wyatt. And they built a church. And they called it the Baptist Temple. And then, though it's not that anymore. And it was called Temple College. Now Temple University. And it all started with a little girl with a 13 cents. Everything she had in life. And a little piece of paper. You could go on and on and on with stories like these, friends, but God has commissioned you and he has commissioned me to do something, as Joe has just said so perfectly, that is absolutely a unique ministry. I cannot do yours, nor you mine, but you can do yours. and I pray to God that I do mine. They're different, but that's the beauty of it. Just as we're different, we think differently, we look different. Every man right now looks at me and says, thank the Lord. We look different. We act different. We have different personalities. We have different strengths. We have different weaknesses. We also have different gifts. And you know, if I ever see a building and it's all identical stone, to me it's sort of a boring structure. But I love driving through the countryside seeing those Pennsylvania stone farmhouses. Light gray, dark gray, some rust tones, some with a little green. And the whole building fitly joined together is a beautiful sight. This living organism represented in this room of the church. We're not all the same. But I agree again, as our brother has said, we have been fitted to do a job. And we have not only been fitted to do a job, we have been commanded to do a job. But then I couple that with the fact that we've been bought at infinite price. And I say, okay, it only makes sense then. If I buy something, I want it to perform. If it doesn't, I take it back and get a refund or an exchange. But God isn't in the business of getting refunds or exchanging. He's known what He has gotten before He purchased us. And He bought us for a purpose. And He bought us at an infinite cost. And commensurate with that, it's a very wonderful work that we're demanded to do. Now, Paul called himself a bondslave. And you know and I know that that's exactly what we are. We are not our own. We have been purchased with an infinite price. I will never exhaust the sum of what it cost the Lord Jesus to buy me. I'll never understand it. I'll never finally come to here's the bottom. Infinity is just that. And because of that, there's no retirement age in the Christian circle. We keep working. You keep working. You keep plugging away. And as someone has rightfully said, Lord, grant that I may wear out, never rust out. We're in the Christian life for life. And God has a work for us to do. The mystery to me is that though I've been bought at a price and have to repay God in a sense, when it's all said and done, He's going to repay me. It's sort of like all the blessing is mine and all of the work is His. And then I think, but that's salvation. Now, brethren and sisters, I don't know what some of you do for the Lord, but you do. And above all, God does. And so whatever it is, do with all of your heart. Not just for the blessing of people now. Matthew 25:40 tells me that if you get a cup of cold water given to you in the Lord's name, that bears a reward. A cup of cold water. There's some of you saints and you have cooked meals for people that are in trouble. And no one else knows about it but them and you and God. Sometimes it's just a simple statement of encouragement. I can remember when I was young, godly people who came up and gave me some of the most blessed advice. I'm sure what I said wasn't very profound, but they encouraged me. Okay, they could have just as easily discouraged me because I said some pretty dumb things too. They were encouraging. It's going to get a reward. We sit back and we think of all of the prominent people today. And I agree, Christians have always done that. And we say, boy, I would really like to be, and you fill in the blank. What a prominent ministry. Travel all around the world, and unsaved in country after country know their name. May I say in all kindness, with no disrespect to them, if you are more faithful in what God has given you to do, I have a feeling that you may actually be more rewarded than some very prominent people that have been given maybe a lot more to do. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is, may we ask ourselves today, what has God called me to do? Now, there are some things He's called all of us to do. We are all to be a witness. We are all to wear and share our faith right on our sleeve, right on our lips. We are all to live a life that is set apart uniquely for God. I used to think that sanctification, in fact, when I heard it announced at a conference, I started to shake inside. It was a list of do's and don'ts, usually accompanied by people slamming the podium, till I realized that actually it's not a negative teaching at all. It's about the most positive teaching that you could ever imagine. God of the universe, who knows everyone and everything, has chosen me for His very own. It's no wonder it's a thrilling topic. There are things that we all owe, and there are things that we are all to do. We're all to be steadfast. We're all to be steadfast in our worship and in our service. Not service first and then worship. That's actually reversing the order everywhere they appear. The heart has to be right first, and then the service just seems to naturally happen. We're all to be very effective in prayer. And on we could go. But friends, this afternoon as we close, whatever it is that God has called us to do uniquely, specifically, may we think of these few people: a widow, a young man, a little girl, and millions of others like them who did what was at hand to do. And we will learn of them in eternity. What a God we serve. We so often limit Him. We so often think of Him the way we think of ourselves, as finite. He's infinite. And He can take our little loaves and our two small fishes and multiply them for the feeding of a multitude. Let's go forth and do it. Not in our own strength, God forbid, but in the strength of, and for the honor and glory alone of, the greatest master we could ever work for. May God. Father, we are thankful today for the privilege of being together with Christians of like precious faith. Above all, we're thankful for our Lord Jesus. His promised presence has surely been in our midst this afternoon. And Lord Jesus, we thank Thee above all else for loving us to that very, and then for willingly and gladly tasting it for every man. For the work of the cross, for a finished work, and for a satisfied God, we are very grateful and blessed this afternoon. We're thankful for CMML and for all of their work, for their service, tirelessly and oftentimes thanklessly, for those that serve the Lord overseas. Our Father, for others that do a similar work in other countries. We give thanks, Father, for those that have set aside their time when they could be working perhaps for far greater incomes, and they are serving those, and in so doing, serving them that serve. So we pray for them. Thankful for all who have come. We're thankful, our Father, for the privilege of meeting together to study the Word and to just share things of the Lord one with the other. Thy blessing, and take us where we are going in safety, we pray. Bless each person here, every outreach, every ministry, everything that anyone here does for the Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, that it will be crowned with honor and glory and blessing to saint and sinner, but above all to the Lord Jesus. We give thanks above all for Him as we offer our thanks in that name which forever will be above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just a brief announcement, but just before I make that, I'll invite our brother Dr. Garnes to come to the platform, and He will draw the whole day to a close and commend us to the Lord. And in the meantime, I want to just call your attention to the book table as you go out. You've probably been talking to some folk in the seat next to you, and they've picked up a title, and you want to get hold of it. So avail yourselves of the book table as you go out. And we just want to thank all of you for coming. I hope you've had an enjoyable day in the things of our Lord. Now, Dr. Garnes, you would just draw to a close.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence divine. And unto thee our hearts go out in worship, praise, and honor. To thee and to our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy coming together of thy people today. We thank thee for that which thou hast taught us. We thank thee for the liberty given to thy servants as they spoke to us. May we not be forgetful hearers, but doers. Now we are about to depart from this sacred enclosure. We ask thee to go with us. Take us to our respective places of abode in peace and in safety. And if it be thy will, then the Lord be not come. Bring us up again in the day to follow, to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus commit ourselves unto thee, worshiping, praising, and thanking thee in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.